All right, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles tonight, going back into the fourth chapter of Philippians. And last week, praise God, we ventured into the marvels of this eighth and ninth verse, but I'd like again to go ahead and read from verse 1, and we'll read down through the ninth verse. And I think it gets more thrilling each time you read it, brothers and sisters, so I'm expecting that again from the Lord. We're reading about our inheritance. We're reading about who we are in Christ. We're reading about the only thing there will ever be. Let's to put that into perspective. All of this will pass away, but His Word endures forever. Praise His name. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Can you hear him saying that to you? I mean, really, can you hear him saying that to you? Praise the Lord. I pray we can. This is for us. This is for this company that by God's grace will be in tune to the trumpeter's voice. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Synth, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. You talk about a wedded one. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Praise the Lord, he did it again. Thank you, Jesus. But again, tonight, the eighth and ninth verse. And brothers and sisters, as we read this, we're so thankful to God because the Spirit continues to emphasize and encourage us into the dispensation that was given to Paul. It is so evident, it is so simple, it is so clear, praise the Lord, of what God is getting at. The mystery of Christ and the church. And praise God, the mystery of Christ in the church that completed or completes the Word of God. As we read in Colossians last week, this was given to Paul to complete the Word of God. This message. And you listen to that as I read that. Christ in the church that completes the Word of God, the bride completes him. See, it's that message. It's that message of the mystery of Christ. And his church completes the word of his grace. So thankful to the Lord as he's bringing this over and over and through the scriptures. And the message of the search for the goodly pearl that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God, it's right here in the message that was given to Paul. And as the Spirit's encouraging here again, these things that you see in me, do. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. Amen. And brothers and sisters, it's the truth and love. It's the spirit and truth life by God's grace. That love abounds. It ever increases. It can't be measured. And that life meditates on these things that we're reading of here tonight. This is the mind of Christ. This is what Jesus himself thinks because this is his life. Isn't that wonderful? It's one and the same. This is the life of Christ that lives in you. This isn't something that you can conjure up. This is something that just is. And praise the Lord, this is what we're going to get at tonight, is this is why, by God's grace, we should abound in hope. And we can hope one for another as we hope in Christ in us. And brothers and sisters, but we have to also face reality. It's going to be in truth and love. And without the Word of God, without growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there will be no growth. it won't happen. It can't happen. It has to be that message of the grace of God and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the grace of grace of grace of God. Hallelujah. But this is the mind of Jesus Christ, and it's also of the Father as well. And you think about this, that only the thoughts of love are towards the sons of God. God is love. He cannot think but love for us. We're his sons. When he sees us, he sees the very life of his only begotten son. It's the same life. And that's why those thoughts, that's why we're talking about here, we're one in Christ and we have this. And brothers and sisters, we have to get this. I believe by God's grace this must be received by his Spirit, or the altogether lovely will not be completely grown up into us. It won't. We won't grow up into all things in Christ without this. This is the mind that is in complete harmony with God because it is his mind. Amen? Amen. That's his mind. This is what his mind is. This is what his mind thinks upon. His mind is not on anything, brothers and sisters, negative. When he thinks of us, when he sees us, it's only on the vision for us to grow up into him in all things. Because everything has been given. And then every encouragement, every bit of anointing, the very power of his might has been given. I think of the love of Jesus Christ not only coming to live and to die for us and to become sin upon that cross. He departs from that love. Yes, he returned to his Father. He understood the plan. But departing again. And praise the Lord, sending the Spirit that it might be complete. Praise God. That completeness in the word of his grace, that the bride would be there for his truth. Hallelujah. Praise God for this wonderful message. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not. And I believe by his grace, it's been interesting, some of the conversations I've had with some people as of late. The enemy always trying to get you down about some different things. But you know, brothers and sisters, I know by God's grace who I am in Christ. And I believe by God's grace why I'm here. I'm here to preach the message of the latter rain. I am. By God's grace, that's what he's called me to. And I'm not ashamed of it. You can call me a nut. You can call me elite. You can call me whatever you want. No. By God's grace, it is what his word is. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we can have his mind and we can preach with boldness the very love of God. And the epitome of what the Father wants for his Son. And the sons that many sons that he wants to bring to glory. Praise God, what he wants them to grow up into. But it's wonderful, brothers and sisters, as I was thinking of that. Lord, there were those brothers and sisters that were there at the early rain. And I thought, you know, praise the Lord, they didn't go up to the upper room to do something. They went up to the upper room to receive something. Amen? Amen. And they waited and they waited, but they knew it was coming because the word of God told them it was. See, in our lives, brothers and sisters, can be about putting things in order, trying to do. There are many Marthas, but by his grace, I want to preach the message of the Mary that sits at Jesus' feet that receives the better part. Amen. Because that's his desire. Not because of something I discovered or something that somebody else discovered. No, it's because the grace of God found us. And the grace of God touched you. And by God's grace, you're in tune with it. And there's an attraction because God has seen fit to put that life and give that power and give that anointing to draw you to him. Praise the Lord. Now, this Mary at his feet, I was thinking, testifies, brothers and sisters, of a oneness that is so connected by complete humility to him that she receives his best. She just gets down. She realized that he must increase and I must decrease. That's the only way it's going to work. So she gets down there to receive the double portion. She is an opened vessel that is willing to have everything poured into and even overflowing to where she becomes his vessel, completely set apart to him alone, only for the master's use, a vessel to his praise, and a vessel that he will bestow all of his glory, and even as the word of God someday make known to all that I have loved thee. Now that's incredible stuff. That is the word of God in this life, grown up, and what he will do in that life, glorified together with me. All right. Now, and as we think on this tonight, this isn't just thinking of us individually. I pray not. It's for the body. Did you know that? This is for the body. His mind dwelling in us and thinking upon these things supplies the joints of the body. Do you meditate at home? I pray you do. About all of these things in the lives of the saints. You'll find it there. Oh, you could look at some other things that are lies about them. Come on. But praise the Lord, we can meditate on these things. Amen. Are we going to remember that incident? Are we going to remember that time? Are we going to meditate on these things? I want the mind of Christ. How about you? Because he said, let it be in you. I tell you, if there's ever a time to say, oh Lord, take those wicked thoughts away, is when those thoughts against our brother or sister in Christ come about. That's not how Jesus thinks. Amen? I would want to ask any Christian, and I doubt I would get any different answer, would you want to think how Christ thinks? Would you? Isn't that really what it's about? Amen, it is. Well, this is his mind, and this is what he thinks. And this is why it is so important, brothers and sisters, that we allow the shedding of the love of God abroad in our hearts. And how is that? By the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, that is a life that truly lives the love of God. There's an evidence of it. You talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the evidence of that love, joy, and peace. It just radiates. And that's why as we get to the end of this ninth verse and it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Praise the Lord, he's always there. I have peace with God. He holds me. But praise the Lord, the fellowship shall be with you. That means I entered into the courts of the Lord. I'm supping right there at his table. We're having sweet fellowship. We're talking about the things of him and the things of the body. And the only way that I can discuss those things with him and the only conversation he's going to have with me is when it's in those things that are of these six that we're talking about. And yes, notice that there are six. And there's a beautiful thing in this six. And I was rejoicing with a brother last week as we talked about this a little bit at the end and was so thankful that it was spurred in his heart as well too. But the number six represents man. Amen? Now look at these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, and the good report. Praise the Lord. They're all in there, brothers and sisters. So we see this. And when we meditate on these things as a man, it's profitless. There's nothing there. It would be empty. There would be lacking. It would be of nothing to God. But praise the Lord, man can try to act good. They can even hole themselves up in a cave. They can even try to chant and attempt to meditate on things such as this. But without virtue and praise, it misses the mark. It misses it completely, brothers and sisters. Virtue, as we know, is Christ Jesus himself. Amen? Just as the virtue, the power, the goodness, the healing that came out of him when that sweet woman with the issue of blood pressed through and touched his garment. And praise God, praise the Lord, it touched him. And then we know, brothers and sisters, that this praise, it's got to be the Spirit. And as you think about this, it's truth and love. And truth and love must go together for God's best. You think about how people have tried to go only with the truth. We're truth only. We're fundamental. Well, it is true, as was told to our pastor a long time ago, truth only, and you eventually will dry up. But then there's ones that will be caught so in the Spirit. And then as we read about those Corinthians, they were caught so in the Spirit. They went so far, in a sense, in what they thought was the Spirit. They blew up. And not just blew up in themselves, they blew up at one another. You talk about the contention that was going on. But then as you get them both together, yes, there is a growing up, Spirit and in truth. That is exactly what the true worshiper, praise the Lord, is the very evidence of. And brothers and sisters, without this sufficient witness, this dynamic duo, really that brings forth the true worshiper? Amen. The ones who fervently draw nigh unto the Lord as to kiss Him. You know who they are. Praise the Lord, you do. Because the Lord in your heart wants to see them. See, that's the difference, because by God's grace, it's in you. When you're wanting to see others that truly want to draw nigh unto the Lord fervently, passionately, to kiss Him, and then you start hoping for others that you see have such great potential. And why do they have great potential? Was it their personality? Was it because they were born to these parents? Because they went to such and such church? No, because of Christ in them. And you never know. You never know who it might be. And that's why it's so important, praying fervently one for another, that it just might hit. And praise the Lord when it does. And brothers and sisters, without that, there wouldn't be a readied wife for the husband. But then you think how perfectly this all comes together. We have the two added here with the six, and now you got a union of eight. Now you got something really marvelous coming forward. You've got the bridal. You've got the number of the bride. Whether it was the eight in the ark that was spared from the wrath of the flood, the Philadelphia church will be spared from the tribulation. See, the number has always marked her as the perfect and complete company in all the will of God. The ones who receive all of the completeness of the word of His grace. Amen. Don't you want it all? Don't you want it to just pour through your life? Not just something that we do, well, I remember this, or I can recite that, or memorizing this. I'm talking about the word working effectually in them that believe. I'm talking about the lives that change from glory to glory into the very image of Him. The ones that by God's grace have the testimony, as when the brother came in the church and he didn't know very many people here, but there was one sister who so caught his eye. He never got to meet her for a while, so he just wrote down, Jesus Lady. How do you want to be known? Huh? Amen. Amen, amen. See, that's the testifying of the magnificence of the love of God is so rich. We just pay attention to Him instead of ourselves. How glory, how much glory it'll be. But brothers and sisters, when we see this added together, this completeness that comes forth, we start abiding in a day, praise the Lord, when that inheritance among them that are sanctified is going to be made sight. And that's the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness to usward who believe. And I'm so thankful to God that it's a day that we believe that could even start tonight. That He could come, His appearing, we could hear that trump at any moment. That's why we come to Bible study. I think, Lord, I want You to come anytime, but wouldn't it just be a joyous time if You came during a service? Not that I want to be picky and choosy. You come anytime. If I wake out of my sleep or whatever it might be and see Your face, hallelujah. But Lord, wouldn't it be something in just a moment? We're face to face. Oh my. Now that is a visual that I love to have. Hallelujah. But now with all that, brothers and sisters, we see that this is truly the cry and the call and desire that God had put in the heart of His Son. Father, sanctify them with Thy truth. Set them apart with Me, with the love for Me, with that drawing. See, we go unto Him. We go unto Him without the camp. You know that. And see, that's the truth that takes us away from it. We start getting a vision of it. We don't remove ourselves. So many people say, well, I'm going to do this to get right with God or something like that. Are you a Christian? Praise the Lord. Well, you're right with God. You're okay. It's all good. You're a son. I was rejoicing today again in just the simplicity of, you know, I'm a human. I can't be anything else but a human being. The moment that was it, it was done. I received that seed from my mom and dad. Boom, I'm a human being. All right, now, how much more being born of God? And he even says, isn't that something? I love that. And we're going to read that verse a little bit tonight. But the seed that remaineth. That means it's forever. It can never be anything but. And how beautifully simple. As you go through the Word of God and He magnifies these things. As in Galatians 4:1, you're Lord of all. But the child is no different from the servant in the kingdom if they don't grow up. They're going to go play with the little things. And it's great to be there. They're having a fun time. But how much more so? Even in the natural, brothers and sisters, as human beings, we don't grow up to be any more human. Right? But we grow up in our humanness. We grow up in all of the beauty about being a human being. And all the beautiful things naturally that God has provided that we go through and we become and we mature. How much more so in that wonderful type of even a human? Because it's exciting if you think about a human. Yeah, there's some ups and downs, but it can be exciting in so many different ways. The things we enjoy. The things to grow up that we see in nature and in science and in all of these different things. But how much more so as the sons of God. And we grow up into this vision. And then it makes everything even here so beautiful. It just does. It's not that this world in a sense, oh, I just hate this world. No, I'm not of this world. But this world is a special place because it's exactly where God placed, praise the Lord, His bride to grow up in, to be nurtured in. To face these challenges in. Do you understand this? Praise the Lord. God, you do know what you're doing. And I don't need to fret about it. But brothers and sisters, this is why we can't hurry through this. You just can't. And I love to talk about these verses. And I pray you do too. But see, the love of God and His passion is just too immense. And I was thinking again, as you take one of those wonderful baths that you never want to get out of. This is to bathe in this precious truth. You talk about a candlelight dinner, you never want to end. And praise the Lord, this is just the preliminaries. Because we're going to step into a time that will never, ever end. And only exceedingly increase at a better, upon better, upon better. So you ready? What shall we think upon? Whatsoever. You're going to see that word? Over and over. Whatsoever. You know what that means? It means as many as possible. God uses this word in different ways throughout the Word of God. It's not the same word, but it has a similar meaning. It means to superabound in this whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Lord, expand my thoughts. How many thoughts does He have towards you? More than the sand of the sea. You see? How about us for one another? Do you see this again? This is the mind of Christ. Do you see how this beautiful, wonderful life of Jesus Christ just continues to expand in us? But this is what it is. And we go to the first one. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. Now, we've heard this many times in this precious meeting. This isn't whatsoever things are the truth. This is whatsoever things are true. And I'll explain it like this. Yes, the truth was that Noah got drunk and got naked in his tent. That was the truth. But the true was is that God had already covered it. Amen. Yes, the truth was That woman was caught in the very act of adultery. But the true was there. The true was there. And the only thing that was dwelt upon was a life that would go and sin no more. Get that, please. As he said, go and sin no more. That life had nothing to do with going and sinning no more. His life was the going. It wouldn't sin anymore. Come on. Are you willing to step into the Word of God? I don't know. We'll see. But true means loving the word of truth. True means seeing and thinking upon what is true in the word of truth. Listen to that. What is true in the word of truth? And true in the truth assures that a Christian is justified. True in the truth assures that a Christian is a child of God. True in the truth assures that a Christian is righteous and holy. So what are we thinking about when we think about one another? Is it true in the truth? Or are we thinking the lies of the enemy? Sometimes we love to accept the grace of God for the man I am in Christ. But how about for the man my brother or sister is in Christ? And when we come to that, let's connect the dots. It's one and the same. We're one together in Him. Praise His name. And I ask you, is whatsoever is not of faith sin? Does God have one weightier sin than another? No. Does God see any amount of sin on His sons? No. Think on these things. Makes your life a lot more joyful. You see how the Father rests? See, if the Father saw anything but the blood of His Son, the Father would not rest. He just wouldn't. He's at perfect peace as He sees His precious Son. He loves that Son. He rests in that Son, that finished work, the Lamb of God. And I'm seeing more and more in greater view and greater detail, all of it. I don't know how He does it, but how beautiful that Christ in me and Christ in you is. Now, this is the heart of God. Noah and the woman caught in adultery, their sins were taken away. 1 John 3:9, he who is born of God doth not commit sin. Listen to that. He who is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. That takes away all of the wondering and, well, how could that be? For his seed remaineth in him. It's Christ in you. That's who you are. Galatians 2:20, the moment you took him as Savior. I am crucified with Christ. You're dead. That old man's dead. The new man lives. And he does live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Amen, amen. So again, he who is born of God doth not commit sin. Boy, do I feel a lot better about you. Do you feel any better about me? I pray you do. And I pray you always will. Because it's Christ in me. Christ in you. Yes, and I will preach this over and over because we're weak. And so often we want to see with our eyes. So often we want to go back to our own minds and our own thoughts and our own legal buddies and our own legal brothers and sisters that we grew up with. That maybe even we sat here in the pews with. Legality is legality, but the life does not commit sin. Even But one that would be caught up into that. Even one that does not want to accept this. Well, sure, brother, I believe this, but. No, you don't. There's no but. There isn't a but. There's only a but God. But God did it all. But God gave me this life. But God gave me this truth. And but God can give me his mind. And but God can have me to dwell in this and rest and fellowship, that the very God of peace shall be with me. I didn't come here to put things in order. I came here to sit. Right, Sister Lydia? As Brother Hill told her, you just go sit down. And that was over 10 years ago. Isn't that something? Now, praise the Lord. Let's finish the verse. He who is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And you can take that to the bank. You can count it. It's done. All right. Now, I appreciate so much many things and different ones that said things, but one came to mind that Brother Hill was led to express in his Philippians study. He says, an unclean story may well be accurate, but it can never be true. You hear that? An unclean story may well be accurate, but it can never be true. This referring to a Christian. It is only true when it is in substance in the likeness of God himself. And I guess what the Lord encourages my heart to add to that is God is love. So what is the true that we are dwelling on? Isn't he? All right. Well, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you. You know, everybody's looking, they love them commandments, don't they? Well, here's the new one. All right. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say that you love one another, because you know what kind of ruckus that would have broke out in that. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Isn't that something how he does that? It's not redundant. He's just settling and saddling and just, that's called prisoner love time. If you're going to receive this, he's going to have to just lock you right up in the prison of love. Can't get out. If you really want his mind, and if you really want to dwell with the peace of God, you're going to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You're going to be a prisoner of the love of God. And it's awesome, isn't it? But I'm telling you, I really don't believe many folks have read that verse. I know a lot of people have read that verse. But how many of us really believe that verse? And I'm talking about where it's working effectually in us. In us. In us. All right. Now whatsoever things are honest. That's interesting. Every time I read through this, I say, Lord, there's just a precious pattern. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Listen to these words. I mean, they're just so absolutely, amazingly precious. They're wonderful. But whatsoever things are honest. Well, so you don't get out of sorts here and thinking you're a little bit more better than the next guy. It means whatsoever things are honorable. Honorable. Big difference. And honorable not just for ourselves, brothers and sisters. I was encouraged, Brother David, meditating day and night. He delighted in the law of the Lord. But again, how much more for us in Christ? Honorable. Amen? You know, when we're praying one for another, we know that there's some things that different ones go through. Some of us might even have, in a sense, more intimate friendship. I pray we understand the intimacy of the body of Christ. It's not, there's no different. There's no division. There isn't. No. But we may know some things to sit down and to really meditate upon. But by God's grace, when we're going through these things, may we meditate on these things when we're meditating on these trials. Do you see what I'm saying? See, by God's grace, I can look to the Word of God, and immediately it takes me to the beyond optimistic. I know nothing's hard for God. I know if He be for me, who could be against me? I know that it's going to take the trying of my faith that's going to bring forth that vessel of praise, honor, and glory to Him. I know that it's going to take the great failures by God's grace. That's how He works it. That fall has to happen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful to God. Just as David, he expressed, "Oh, I've sinned against the Lord." Yeah, I missed the mark. I failed. But praise God, He took care of all that. And I give it to Him. And He's strumming across my heart that I'm the man after God's own heart. And then, praise the Lord, He looks at us and He says, "I want you to see my love, honey. I want you to see the emphasis that the law that you now live is the complete and saturating love of God." Now, think of that as we think towards others. Is my thought honorable toward you? Listen to that. How are our thoughts, brothers and sisters, one toward another? Might have to stretch a long way from that side of the church all the way over to that side of the church. Do I sit over here to avoid that over there? God help us to not be like that. Amen, amen. I don't want any divisions by God's grace because He doesn't want them. And no, it's not preaching a perfect church. I know there must be heresies among you. But praise the Lord, I don't use that as an excuse to say, well, that's all right. That means we can just go at each other from time to time. I don't want that. Didn't He say any root of bitterness? Didn't He say meditate on these things? You see, when we have these instances of conflict come between us, brothers and sisters, and let's even say that truly you were in the right, that you have been wronged. If you're dwelling on being wronged, if you're dwelling on something that's not a good report against my brother, I believe I read in the Word of God here, and you need to hit your knees. I need to hit my knees. And do you realize that the transformation of love in your life for a brother or a sister in the Lord like that, what that does in testimony to them? Not conviction to make them feel bad. And if you start saying, well, yeah, it's pouring cold water on their, coals of fire on their head. Rightfully divide the word of truth. It's love. It's love. That changes things. The love of God changes things. And we can talk about that personally in our own lives. We can talk about it in our homes. And by God's grace, I know that we've been seeing it in our meeting. That's what's beautiful here. The transformation of the sons of God. Because there's a renewing of their mind. And the mind is this. And this is love. And that's what it is. We can be so quick to judge. Sometimes we like to judge liberties. How about leaving that to God? How about leaving it to the Lord? I'm not patting people on the head and saying this is okay and that's okay. But you know what? I'm learning to let God deal with that. When it comes to a contention in the meeting where it's causing discord in this meeting, the Lord might use me to say something or do something. But I'm learning to the Lord. We are His treasured vessels. And all He's doing is dealing with us to, will you be shut up to me? Will you allow me to be poured into your life so much that it'll take all that sediment, all those things, and they'll just come out? Go back to it. I'm not here to set things in order. I'm here to set at the feet of Jesus. I want the better part. All right. Now, can you imagine we're talking about ones that are the lovers of the race here? Can you imagine? We're talking about the Philadelphia Company. Brotherly love. He's at us from every angle, isn't he? Hallelujah. The ones abounding, brothers and sisters, for the first trumpet blast. And they are consumed with his love. And here's why. Because they see with his love. They stand in his love. They speak in his love. Because they are as him, they are all together, no division, lovely. They don't want to just take bits and pieces of the scripture and say, well, this is what I'll use today for me. Well, I'm not going to use that because that's not going to really apply with my direction of where I'm going. We've all done this. Okay. Sometimes it's sweet when we started, getting a little bitter. Come on now. But brothers and sisters, this is a sweet time. And I'll wrap it up here. This word honest, it comes from a root word meaning to revere and adore. Think of that, to revere and adore. Do I see God's children and revering them and adoring them? And it didn't say just when they were doing this or just when they're doing that. I'm talking about, do I see them that way? And I guess the Lord caused me to say this. Sure, I wish that all Christians abided in an abounding state. Don't you? Don't you wish that all Christians would abide in an abounding state? But how about even when they don't? Should I not always honor them for their standing, their birthright? Amen. They may be a child, but are they still God the Father's sons? Yeah, they are. And we need to care for one another like that. And we need to cherish one another like that. And not just in this meeting. All of God's precious people. And I'm thankful I've heard that term over and over in an endearment and a sincerity. All of God's precious people. That we pray for them everywhere. Because we know that that is beyond anything we could even imagine of value to God. That one life. That they accepted the blood of the Son. Praise be to God. Now we do know a message that says, now grow up into that. And now in all things. But praise the Lord, lest we ever forget. Every life. Every single precious life that is His is so beyond valuable to God. But are we seeing here even the more that it is Christ in us seeing souls? I've been saying that for quite some time. The Lord's encouraged me. Christ in us seeing souls. How these are the ones that love. That are ones that are like Him. Christ so perfected, matured, grown, that they are majestic in love. See, there's a majestic love, isn't there? It's called kingly. It's the ones that will rule and reign with Him in love. They're lovers. They're lovers of the truth. And they love the head just as they love the body. Because there's no difference. There is no difference to God. See, it's one and the same. He loves His Son and He's one. And praise the Lord, He has a head and a body. I think He's trying to really press us, isn't He? These are ones that are transformed, renewed minds, transcended in love. And why? Do you remember the precious cherubim study the Lord gave us? Where are those cherubim's eyes fixed? On the mercy seat. They don't move. They're just stuck. Looking at the blood. Affixed on mercy. Affixed on forgiveness. Seeing nothing but the blood of the Lamb. Seeing nothing but the great love wherewith we are loved. Seeing nothing but virtue and praise. Amen. I think we'll go ahead and stop there. But this is the testimony of the brilliance of the new man. And the brilliance of the new man, and in growing up, is walking in glory now. Walking in glory now, from glory to glory, to be a vessel filled, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.